Well, good evening and welcome back to the Journey Home program. I'm your host, John Mark Grodi, here in EWTN. And once again, we have this awesome opportunity to come together and hear a story, a conversion story, that way that the gospel takes root in someone's life and transforms their life. We're talking tonight to Robert Tunmeyer. He's a former agnostic and evangelical Christian. There's a written version of his story called From Heathen to Catholic Ministry to Men. It's available at chnetwork.org. And he's the founder, co-founder and president and CEO of some amazing ministries, Heroic Men at heroicmen.com and catholicmenleaders.org, the Catholic Men's Leadership Alliance. We're going to hear about those ministries later. But Robert, thanks so much for joining
us
tonight.
Thank you for having me, John Mark.
Yeah, thank you for your work and for sharing your story tonight. I really appreciate you being here.
Glad to be here.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's go back to the beginning. Again, I'm really excited to hear about your ministry. I have a real passion for men's ministry. I think it's so important. So I want to hear about that. But let's take it all the way back to the beginning. What's your spiritual background, you and your family?
Yeah. So little background. My grandma was born and raised in Waco, Texas. My dad was born and raised in Waco, Texas. And he quit high school when he was 17 and joined the Marine Corps. Wasn't raised church. He was baptized at a Baptist church in Waco, but never attended. So he quit high school, joined the Marine Corps in 1953, and met my mom out in California, and they were married. And so I was born in Southern California. I have one older brother, one younger sister. And Dad was a serious Marine. He was a machine gunner on helicopters, crew chief. He was drill instructor in San Diego. So he was gone a lot, yeah, too. And he was a serious Marine. And so we moved from North Carolina, California, back and forth several times. And wasn't grown up, churched, never baptized, and it just wasn't an issue. We didn't discuss it. It just wasn't part of our life.
Right.
And had a great mom and dad. We had a great family, and just really good. But God wasn't part of it. So yeah, I'm always fascinated when I hear someone that tells a story and they were raised in a great Christian family and all that. I'm like, wow, okay. And so I started heading off the rails at a fairly young age. I always worked, always mowing yards to you name it. But my dad being gone a lot, I started heading off the rails. Mm-hmm. And gave my mom a real hard time, and just continued down that path to a point where my dad finally looked at me one day and said, "When you get thrown in jail, don't call me." Mm-hmm. So I was pretty much at the age of 16 on my way to dead or in jail.
Right.
I mean, and really out there and living a life that was just crazy. Should have been dead a couple times. By the grace of God, he kept me alive. And then I, after my sophomore year of high school, there was a girl in our class whose dad was just starting this company. He started it in March, and he needed a hand for a day. And she gave him my number. Her name was Dawn Dwyer. And he helped me rewrite my story. Oddly enough, I started working with him and started doing pretty good. And I was he started a carpet cleaning and dyeing business. And I was a helper. My job was to clean the corners and the edges of the carpet and move the furniture. And after a couple weeks, I went to him and said, I could be a technician instead of a helper. He said, "Oh, you're 16. You can't do that." But I bugged him. And ultimately, that summer, I became a technician, had my own vehicle and my own equipment, and was doing very well. So I started back to my junior year of high school. And back then, I don't know if they still have it today, but there was a program called distributive education, where you could work half a day and go to school half a day and get credit and still graduate.
Yeah.
So I would go to school in the morning, then go work in the afternoon. And did that for about 3 weeks and decided, I can't do this for two more years. So I went to Don and said, hey, I want to open up a franchise. So he was starting his franchise. And he goes, you just turned 17, Robert. You can't do that. The contract wouldn't even be binding. I said, I don't care. I said, I can't do this for 2 years. And so bugged him enough, and he finally said, okay, I'll sell you Lubbock, Texas for $8,000. Give me $2,000 down, and you'll need, you know, the $2,000 for some additional equipment and stuff. So I said, okay. So I went to my mom and dad, and, you know, if I was them, I probably would have not done this for me. But I said, look, I want to quit high school. I need to borrow $4,000, and I want to move to Lubbock, Texas. So, yeah. And they were really great. They said, look, this is the one thing we can do for you. Your brother, my brother was just starting college, and they didn't have $4,000. So they arranged a loan at the Heart of Texas Federal Credit Union. Mom went to school with me, signed me out of school, much to the excitement of the school. And so I drove to Lubbock, Texas, and opened up my first business and continued to do that. Wow. And so that's where I started business. And just people always ask this question, well, did you go back and get your GED? No, I did not. So I always get asked that. And so I got married young the first time. She was 16, I was 17, in which we had no business getting married. We didn't have to get married. It wasn't one of those situations. A funny part of this story is we were married in the Catholic Church. I was not Catholic, wasn't even baptized. And the local priest there, I was living in Lubbock, Monsignor Deering, he's passed away now. And he called me and said, hey, you'd come down to this pre-Cana conference, pre-marriage prep thing. And I said, Father, I'm not driving down from Lubbock, Texas to do this. I'm sorry. Can't make it. So he, and this was like a month before the wedding. And he contacts the girl's mom and says, I can't marry them. Robert won't cooperate. So I located a priest up in Lubbock and spent some time with him. And the associate priest at St. Louis, where we were getting married, went to seminary with him. And he said, yeah, you can come down, you can marry him. So we ended up getting married in that parish, oddly enough. And it had, I mean, the whole Catholic thing had no real meaning to me whatsoever. I don't think the Christian thing had any meaning to me, really. It was getting married. And so we were married 5.5 years, no children, and ended up getting a divorce. Just did everything you could do to mess up a marriage. We were really good at it. And still good friends today, actually. She lives in Waco. And so Don, as we started growing the business out, I continued doing business, and he wanted me to move to Waco and, you know, work with him. So I sold the businesses that I had and moved to Waco. Never thought I'd move back to Waco. And so really spent a lot of time chasing the almighty dollar. I mean, I was about as worldly as you could get. I was responsible for an abortion in 1982. And like I say, just I was always very honest in my business dealings, but I would say that my moral compass was lacking, lack of a better way of saying it, and continue to do business and live worldly, and decided I ought to settle down and get married again. And so there's this woman that I had met, she was a veterinarian doctor, and I thought, well, she's independent, got her own career, and I can remember sitting down with her before we got married. This is kind of paint the picture for you. I sat down with her and said, now look, you got to understand this. The business comes first. If you ask me to choose between the business and you, I'm going to choose the business. Which, in hindsight, I'm thinking, what was I thinking? You know, that's about an ignorant thing to say to someone you're about to get married to. But it didn't, that's who I was then. And so we got married, and weren't going to plan on having any children at all. And she did get pregnant in 1991, and we had a son. That was really a turning point. It was like, wow, you know, and that's when it hit me how serious an abortion was. It did not hit me until we had our first son. And I really enjoyed it so much. And then we had another son, Jake, in 1993. And, you know, marriage started unraveling and ended up with another divorce, you know, because I had no concept of being a husband, frankly.
Right. We're joined tonight by Robert Tunmeyer, former agnostic and evangelical Christian. You know, it is really interesting that you know that anecdote of saying to your future wife there, you know, that the business comes first. You know, all throughout that time period, that your childhood, you know, the business and everything. Like, why did the business mean so much to you? Like, what was sort of driving you at that point? Was it?
I just got caught up on the world of things, success. Mm-hmm. You know, that was. That personal goal setting, Don. Mm-hmm. That's who he was.
Right.
Great. He was married, six children. But that was the world that I stepped into, and I bought into it hook, line, sinker.
Right.
And it wasn't like I didn't think that Jesus was the Son of God. It had no meaning to me, and it kind of put a wrapper around it. So. One of my VPs, we went to lunch one day. He was a little bit older guy than I was, and we were coming back from lunch. And I said something like, oh, Jesus, or something like that. And he was a very devout Christian. And he looked at me and says, Robert, would you not do that? And I said, sure, Mike, yeah. And I can remember walking back into the building, thinking to myself, I'm glad I'm not one of those. I mean, that's where I was.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I mean, it was just, it's not that I had anything against Christians or that I didn't get along with them.
Yeah.
It just had zero meaning to them in my life.
Yeah.
And so I continued to, do what I did. And like I say, got another divorce. And then... Don Dwyer passed away suddenly December 4th, 1994, and thrust me into being president of the company.
Wow.
And so even got more engaged in it. And so had joint custody of the boys, and they were, I was raising them. You know, we had from 1 week to the other, we traded from Friday to Sunday, to the following Friday. So, but they were with me quite a bit and, just live life and wasn't looking for God at all. Had, I thought life was wonderful. I thought this is, we've got two great sons, making more money than you could ever imagine. And it just, life is good, so you would think, and it seemed that way.
Yeah.
And so what happened is, and I was not looking for God. Let me just be absolutely clear. In 1999, about the second Friday in January, one of our companies had a conference out in Vegas, and I was scheduled to speak. So I woke up Friday morning. I was sleeping on my back, and which was really odd for me. And the home has very high vaulted ceilings. And I woke up, and there's this bright light in the ceiling. And there's a figure in it. And all it said was Robert. And then my whole body shook violently. And probably if my body wouldn't have shook so violently, I would have passed it off as a dream. Mm-hmm. But didn't really think much more about it. I was like, okay, that was weird.
It was weird.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And so I go to Vegas, then I speak. And I had a later night playing out that night. And in the Caesar Forum shops, there's a magic shop. And I wanted to stop in there and get a few tricks for the boys. Mm-hmm. So I popped in there. And right next door, there's an art gallery that I had gotten some art from over the years. So I went in there. I was looking around. And I saw this picture. And I thought, that would look really good behind my desk. And all of a sudden, John Mark, this thought comes ripping through my mind. You can't spend that money. It's God's money. And I mean, I'm standing there and thinking, where did that come from? That's not God's money. Yeah, I never had a thought like that in my life. So I go walking back outside that. You know, obviously, I didn't buy the picture. And I think, huh, okay, that's a strange thought. But once again, yeah. didn't mean anything really to me. Yeah. So I go back home and go to work on Monday. And my assistant, Linda, who had been with me for a number of years, who knew I wasn't a Christian, no desire to be or anything like that. And she comes in and says, Robert, I went to this church just this weekend. It was really a great experience. You ought to think about going. Now, John Mark, I'm a little slow, but I sat there and thought, okay, I had this experience Friday. I had this experience Friday evening, and my assistant, Linda, who's been with me for years, comes in and tells me about this church. So I'm thinking to myself, well, maybe I should go to church. And the funny part of the story, she was a cradle Catholic, no longer practicing, which is... Yeah, you know, kind of funny, but yeah. Anyways, so I decided I'm going to go to church next weekend. Fellowship Bible, 11th and Washington downtown, Evangelical Bible Church. So I go to it, and it was a good experience. I mean, I can't say that it was, did I get anything spiritually out of it? I don't really think so. The people were very friendly. The music was good. But it wasn't bad. It wasn't a bad experience. Kind of like what I thought it would have been.
Right.
And so the pastor came up to me and said, hey, Robert, we got a newcomer. It's assistant pastor. Great guy, same age as I was. And he goes, we got a newcomer's class next weekend. Maybe you ought to think about coming to the newcomer's class. So I thought, newcomer's class. I guess I might be a newcomer. And so I decided to go early and go to this newcomer's class. It couldn't hurt. So I go to this newcomer's class. And Jean-Marc, it was literally like I was in a pitch black room and someone turned on the light. And it became like crystal clear that I had lived the first 40 years of my life absolutely backwards. I mean, it was just like, I mean, it's hard to put into words, but it was like, and can you say, well, God spoke to me or anything like that? No, I can't say that. All I can clearly recall is it was so clear that I had lived the first 40 years of my life backwards. And Linda was in church. And I sat down next to her church that day. I said, you know, Linda, I just realized I lived the first 40 years of my life absolutely backwards. And I said, I have no idea what to do with that.
Yeah.
I mean, I was lost at what does that mean? What do you do with that?
Right. But to know that you're lost, right, that's the...
Yeah.
That's this great insight.
Yes. So Buck came up to me, the assistant pastor, after church, and said, so did you learn anything, Robert? And I said, well, yeah, Buck, I realized I lived the first 40 years of my life absolutely backwards. Now, I don't know what to do with that buck. I have no clue whatsoever. And he goes, well, have you ever been baptized? And I said, no, never have, never thought about it. He goes, well, that would probably be a good place to start. He goes, over the next couple of weeks, let you and I meet a couple times, and let's talk about why you get baptized, what it is, and all that. So we met several times. He was very, very good at explaining things, with the scripture and everything else. And so I was baptized February 28th, 1999. I was 40 years of age. And I laugh about it now. I said, God let me wander in the desert for 40 years. It's kind of, I mean, literally, it just, and I don't believe that was a coincidence at all.
Right.
So I started on my journey as a Christian. And I didn't really know what that would look like at all. Buck said, look, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to come by your office every week. We'll spend an hour together and read scripture, pray, and bring you along here. And I can look back on that year, probably did that for a year, how important that was. Because probably if he hadn't have done that, I'm not sure it would have stuck. I really don't. But I started reading and studying a lot. And another thing that happened, two things at this time also. I met my now wife, coming up on 23 years, who's been the greatest blessing in my life, Kitty, on February 6th, 1999. Purely coincidental. And I was having a gathering at my home for a group of franchisees, and her sister worked for me as a staff accountant. And she said, and Kitty lived in Fort Worth, and she says, hey, can I bring my sister out with me? She's going to be in town. I said, sure. I didn't care, you know? So that's where I met Kitty. And I'll fast forward that later on. But but shortly after being baptized, I called an attorney of mine that I needed something done. And I getting ready to get off the phone, he goes, Robert, are you okay? You know, well, what do you mean, David? He goes, you sound very different. I go, well, David, I was baptized February 28th. And Dave goes to the Baptist church there. A great guy. We're very, very close. And he goes, Robert. And we talked for a while. And he said, I got this guy coming. He's going to speak at Columbus Avenue Baptist Church. I really want you to come and hear him. He wrote a book called Man in the Mirror. His name is Patrick Morley. You ought to come and hear him. So I did. And really was impressed with Pat. And we struck up a relationship that is very strong to this day. That's where I got to thinking about my life a little deeper and ministry to men. Didn't get involved in ministry to men. I just continued to grow and study and learn and saw the world very differently. And one of the things that became very, very evident to me is in my pagan heathen days, what I thought was happiness wasn't real at all. Once becoming a Christian, I realized that that was true peace, true happiness, and true joy. And I did not have any of that in my life. But, you know, it's hard for people to realize that when you're in that life, it seems so good and wonderful.
Right.
And this is happiness. And it's all fake.
Yeah.
It's not real. It's the world. And So because of what I did in my career franchising, Pat wanted to have me come down and observe a training he was going to be doing for a group of Protestant ministers for the country about ministry to men. Just because I have a mind for replication, duplication, and all that. So I said, sure. So I flew down there to sit in on this training. I was in my hotel room after the first day and a half of training. I sit in and listen to. It was me and 60 Protestant ministers. And Pat and his team felt really out of place. But I was sitting in my hotel room reading and praying that evening. And I've been a Christian now probably 2 years, something like that.
Right.
And God put two things on my heart that night in my hotel room. He goes, the first thing, and it wasn't audible, but it was crystal clear. He goes, go back and get a Man in the Mirror Bible study going in Waco, Texas. And the next thing he put on my heart is I want you to get ministry to men going in the Austin Diocese for the Catholic Church. And I'm like, John Mark, I'm like, God, you're wrong. You got the wrong guy here. I'm a businessman. I'm not a ministry to men guy. Mm-hmm. And I go, I'm not Catholic.
Right.
I have no concept of being a Catholic. I can't even spell Catholic, God. What are you talking about here? I mean, John Mark, it was like, this is crazy. I mean, just, I was up all night because like, what? No, you're making a mistake here, God. But I did go back to Waco and a friend that had a small Protestant congregation, Jay. And I went and told him, you know, the story, not the Catholic part. I never brought up the Catholic part. And he goes, well, Robert, if you'll organize it, I'll do the training. So I said, oh, okay. So I rented a meeting room at the Hilton there. And before you knew it, we had 60, 80 guys coming every Thursday morning.
Wow.
All denominations. And so let me back up. So Kitty and I got married the 7th of October, 2000, yeah. And sometimes we'd go to my church. She's a cradle Catholic. And sometimes we'd go to the Catholic church. And this went on for, call it probably a year. Mm-hmm. And she finally looked at me and says, Robert, I don't want to go to your church anymore. And I said, okay, we can go to the Catholic church. I mean, I didn't. Wasn't like it really mattered to me. It's like, I can go to Catholic church. So we started going to St. Jerome's there in Waco. And this is going to sound really bad, but so I would go up and take communion.
Because didn't know any better.
Yeah, didn't know any better. Yeah. And in my mind, I thought to myself that if Christ was standing there, he would not refuse me communion. That was my mindset. Mm-hmm. And like I said, it never occurred to me, and nobody knew I wasn't Catholic. Nobody ever asked me.
Right.
And I mean, it was really strange that it didn't even come up.
Yeah.
And I got involved with, there was a men's group there called the Men of St. Jerome's. I got involved with them. We'd do the pancake breakfast and just became very acquainted with all of them and did whatever activities we did. And this went on for, you know, year and a half, something like that. And I just became part of the parish.
Yeah.
And so...
Well, let's take a break there, because I know that there's a turning point is coming up soon here in a minute. And I want to make sure we get a break in. But you're not even knowing it, but you're sort of just entering into this Catholic life, and it's not quite dawned on you the disconnect yet.
Yeah, right. Not at all. It's just I was doing it, and I just looked at it like another church.
But the Holy Spirit's moving in a powerful way, though, toward this men's ministry.
And yeah.
That's where this story goes. So let's take a quick break and we'll come back and pick up on that. Again, we're talking to Robert Tunmeyer tonight. He's a former agnostic and evangelical Christian. You know, there's a lot of, we heard some of that background there. We'll be back in just a couple minutes to hear the rest of his story, especially how it blossoms into this men's ministry. So I'm really excited to hear more about that. So we'll see you in just a minute.
Yeah.
Welcome back to the Journey Home program. We're entering the second half of our hour tonight, speaking to Robert Tunmeyer. He's a former agnostic and evangelical Christian. A great story so far, and I'm really touched. Again, we're talking about the man stuff, and we're going to get into the men's ministry, but just I wanted you to comment for a moment on these two. You had these two turning points in your life that both involved, you know, an older man sort of mentoring you, calling you forward, calling you upward. I mean, comment on that a little bit, because that seems to foreshadow this ministry that you're doing.
Don actually became like my father. He taught me a lot, took me under his wing, literally became like my father. And his six children to this day were like brothers and sisters. And his wife, Terry, who's still alive, she's always considered me like an adopted son.
Yeah.
So it was a very deep relationship. And then Buck took me under his wing in a very, very different way and was critical to me staying on track and growing in my Christian walk.
Yeah. We all need discipleship, but I think men in a particular way, they need to be discipled by elder brothers and fathers in the faith.
Absolutely. And we can talk about that toward the end, yes.
Yeah, well, pick us up on your story. Again,
the men of St. Jerome's wanted to have a camp out. And so we live on 28 acres. We have ponds and everything. I said, hey, you can do it at our place. And so they said, okay, great. It was probably like in May or something like that. So they come out to the house, and we're all sitting around that night around the fire, and we're chatting, and Father Don was there. And they said, Robert, we don't know much about your story. Would you share your story? So I shared my story, and all of a sudden, everybody sitting there realizes, I'm not Catholic.
Right.
I mean, it's like, Father Don was really gracious, though. He was really... fine priest, and I really appreciated how he handled it and everything. But the next morning, so I'm out working, doing a few things, this little bit older gentleman, Chuck, came up to me. He says, Robert, can I talk to you? I go, sure, Chuck. And he goes, have you ever thought about going to RCIA? I says, what is it, Chuck? And he told me what it was, and I thought to myself, 3 hours a week, one night a week for 6 months. I'm like, oh, that doesn't sound fun. So I said, I'll think about it, Chuck. And then he says to me, Robert, you really shouldn't receive the Eucharist. And he went on to explain why. I said, I'll think about that, Chuck. So I realized that it was going to be known in the church that I'm not Catholic now. And it would put Father in a bad place. So I quit going up for the Eucharist. I did get refused the Eucharist at a church up in Fort Worth one time when I was up there. We were up there visiting Kitty's mom. So it was kind of funny. He knew that I wasn't Catholic.
Oh,
but I'd become a Christian.
Right.
And we got into a letter writing back and forth. And then when I finally became Catholic, he was at the cathedral in Fort Worth. I went down and had Mass with him.
Yeah.
Anyways, so I thought about this RCIA thing.
Yeah.
And I thought, okay, I'm going to learn more. So I made a decision I was going to go to RCIA, not to become Catholic, but just to learn more. And Chuck said he'd be my sponsor. Great guy. And Kitty went to the introductory class with me. And on the way home, I look at her and I say, Kitty, I don't think there's anyone in this class that really wants to be there, I said, they're either getting married to a Catholic or they're married to a Catholic. Mm-hmm. I said, but I don't know. And so, but being the person I am, I told the teacher, Deacon Ray and his wife, Charlotte, I said, look, you can tell me what you believe all day long. If you can't tell me why, mm-hmm. I'm not sure you believe it. Mm-hmm. And so I would study and go with questions. And Chuck, my sponsor, he goes, now, Robert, there's going to be some mysteries that just you're not going to figure out. Oh, no, there's no mysteries, Chuck. There can't be no mysteries. And so I dive into it and really studied and would go there loaded with questions. And they did a real good job. It was really a well-done RCIA class. The people that taught it and everything, very, very good. So midway through it, still no intention of becoming Catholic, they play this video by Dr. Scott Hahn, The Lamb's Supper. And John Mark, all of a sudden, it became crystal clear to me that the Catholic Church is the fullness of truth. And in that Eucharist is the presence of Christ. I mean, it was just, you know, it was like, oh, you know? And so I told my sponsor that. And this was like probably December-ish or something like that, I guess, because we're halfway through the class. So, and he says, well, let's get with Deacon. So I sat down with Deacon Ray Carter, and I said, Deacon, here's what I got. I want to become Catholic now. And so we talk a little bit, and they had talked about the annulment thing early on in the class, but I didn't bother to because I wasn't going to become Catholic, so I didn't need to mess with it. And so he says, well, we got to get to work on this. You got two of them, Robert. I had no idea what annulment process was. So he gets all this paperwork and goes through it with me. And I started on it. And I just kind of set it aside. Mm-hmm. It just seems like just because I didn't really connect the dots that if I didn't get it done, I wouldn't come into the church. It was a little more serious than I thought it was.
Right.
So I didn't get it done, and I couldn't come into the church. And Kitty, because of our situation, had quit receiving communion because, you know, we were not living right. And so she wasn't happy that I didn't get the paperwork done. So I went back to work on it.
Yeah.
And Deacon Ray was really helpful to me. And so I get all the paperwork together, and we go through it. And he goes, Robert, there's no way this paperwork does this stuff justice. He goes, I want you to write out the first 40 years of your life in letter form. So I said, oh, okay, I can do that. So I wrote an 11-page letter detailing out, really focusing on my life and the marriages and stuff like that.
Yeah.
He goes, we're going to put this letter with the paperwork. Okay with me. And lo and behold, faster than he ever saw a marriage get annulled, two of them in particular, it was like, it couldn't have been more than 4 months.
Right.
They both came back annulled. Mm. So I came into the Catholic Church the October of 2004.
Yeah.
And we had our marriage blessed and all that. And I came into full communion, which was really a blessing.
Yeah.
It was very, very, very joyful and meaningful.
Right.
You know, it was like life is better now, you know. So went on, you know, doing the Catholic thing, became a knight, first degree knight. And we still did the Thursday morning Man in the Mirror Ministered mm-hmm. event. Mm-hmm. In fall of 2005, the assistant to Bishop Amon, who's now Archbishop Amon in New Orleans, called and said, "Hey, Bishop would like to have dinner with you and your wife." And I said, "Okay, sure." So I called Kitty and says, "Hey, Kitty, the bishop wants to have dinner with you and I." She goes, "How did you get a call from a bishop?" "I have never got a call from a bishop. I've been Catholic all my life." I said, "Kitty, I have no idea. I never met a bishop." So we go down to have dinner with Bishop Amon. And being the person I am, I wrote out a bunch of notes, what I learned becoming Catholic. And I also wrote out, there's no ministry of men going on in the diocese. And there was nothing going on. Here's what we need to do. So we go down and have dinner, and I lay it out for him. He goes, "Go do it, Robert." I'm like, "Oh, whoa, hold on here. Oh, no, that's not what I, you know, signed up for." So, but, you know, I kept thinking back to that that night in Orlando, how all the doors were opened, and here I am today being told, "Go do it."
Right.
Only the Holy Spirit. I mean, literally. But I did find out what he wanted. At the end of dinner, I said, "Bishop, anything I can do for you?" And he goes, "Yeah, Robert, we're starting a capital campaign, and I need a good lead donor." I'm like, I didn't know what a capital campaign was. I found out real quick, mm-hmm. and he asked for this nice chunk of money. I thought Kitty was going to fall out of her chair. And I says, "Let me pray about it. Let me talk to Kitty." And we agreed to support him on it. But I found out why he wanted to have dinner with us. I learned not to ask that question. Anyways, Archbishop and I are still very close and everything. And every time we're in New Orleans, our son lives there. Yeah. We have dinner with him. So great well, man.
It puts a bow on the end of that foreshadowing. You had this message, this call in your heart to do men's ministry. And here you have the bishop confirming it. But it's kind of funny that it happened in the context of a fundraising call, which, you know, someone could listen to and be, you know, and be cynical about. But this is, there's an important theme here, which is the, you know, Catholic men in the church. Sometimes our faith gets relegated to merely the spiritual, merely right. the Bible studies, this stuff. And we are designed by God to be doers in a particular way.
Right. I
mean, everybody can have that. But men in a particular way need to have the faith pour over into the practical part of their life.
Yeah.
You know, the drive to do and accomplish and then to support the church in concrete ways. Yeah. And so,
I believe we all have a God task.
Yes.
You know, and absolutely. That we were uniquely put here at this place and time for a very specific God task.
Yeah.
So anyways, I got with a couple guys and we launched the Central Texas Fellowship of Catholic Men, June 2006. And today we've had 11 annual men's conferences in the Austin Diocese. Wow. We have ministry to men going on in 43 parishes and just coming up on our 12th annual men's mass. And I'm not involved with it anymore. I've handed the baton off. We got a great executive director and great group of men. So they take care of everything in the Austin Diocese. So fast forward, because what I did in my career, I became getting connected with other Catholic men. So I was connected with them, but not in the sense that I was now. And those groups of like Men of Christ up in Milwaukee and California Catholic Men, and there was pockets of them around. And so I became acquainted with them. And we just stayed connected. And in June of 2018, a group of us met in Milwaukee to discuss ministry to men in our Catholic church, which was very weak. We said, "Should we do something?" And they said, we all looked and we agreed that we needed to do something. And Father Larry Richards was there. He's on our board. So is Deacon Harold Brooks Sivers and a very good group of other men.
Yeah.
So he said, "Yeah, let's launch an organization with the objective of getting ministry to men going in every diocese in North America." Mm. So we pulled together the Catholic Men's Leadership Alliance and started a 501(c). And no real, we know what our goal was, but no real organizational structure or anything. Yeah. And they said, okay, why don't you lead it, Robert, for now? I'm like, oh, okay. So God put on my heart, it was time to leave my career so I could devote full-time talent and treasures to doing this. Mm-hmm. So I gave the company, I sat down with the president, who's a very close friend of mine. I brought him in the business originally. I said, Mike, it's time for me to go. And in my agreement, my new agreement, because we were selling the company again, they put in there that I would stay till I'm 61. I turned 61 August of 2019. And I left in October of 2019, which nobody thought I would until I walked out the door.
Yeah.
And I can remember sitting, and we have a private foundation, Kitty, and I took two offices and made it one. I can remember sitting there on that Monday morning. I left on a Friday, sitting there in my office going, huh, what now? I mean, I don't have an assistant sitting outside my door. I don't have all this activity. And it was really, John Mark, kind of a bizarre day. And but once I realized that essentially what I'm doing is franchising ministry to men in the Catholic Church. And when that came to me, mm-hmm. I realized, oh, I know what I need to do. So I went about using that skill set to do that. And we've had great success. We got seven paid associates, got a great VP. And I really think we can have the goal accomplished. Mm-hmm. 3 to 4 years from now, we'll have ministry to men going potentially every diocese, unless there's a reason they don't want us to have ministry to men going there. And people don't use our name or anything like that. Mm-hmm. We just put on inspiring events. We have resources and we have coaching. And all we have to do is find leaders in every diocese. And what we do, we have a virtual summit every quarter. Mm-hmm. And at the end of that, we ask men, and we have 2,500, 2,000 men on it. We ask them, how many of you would like to be involved in ministry to men in your parish, your diocese, or on a larger level? And any given quarter, 80, 90 of them will raise their hand.
That's awesome.
So that's how we find leaders.
Yeah. So that's heroicmen.com. Oh, no, that's CatholicMenLeaders.org would be.
Yeah, Heroic Men is a resource that we partnered with the Augustine Institute to bring all the different Minister to Men programs, like That Man Is You, Search, Into the Breach, mm-hmm. all Capon's Men, all in one location, and it's free.
Yeah.
And then we have our national summit, which we do every year, coming up at the end of June, where the leaders come together. And it's a weekend of fellowship with the other leaders. It's spiritual renewal and sharpening the saw.
That's awesome.
Because one thing that's really important, men need to be gathering on a weekly basis with other men to pray and have spiritual growth, formation, and fellowship. Mm-hmm. That's where ministry to men, doing a conference is really good, but where it really hits the road is when men are gathering with other men on a weekly basis.
Yeah. That's great. Let me read those websites again for people to find more information. There's heroicmen.com. That's the resource.
That's the resource.
The programs, the partnership.
That's technology platform.
Augustine Institute. And then Catholic Men's Leadership Alliance is CatholicMenLeaders.org. We just got about 5 minutes left. And I just, again, with all those in mind, I hope people check out those resources. And maybe there's some men out there that want to get stuff started at the local level. I mean, let's just talk for a few more minutes about, again, what's missing on that local level in terms of, like, what are those restless hearts like you were as a young man, where's the mismatch? Where's the disconnect? Why aren't they, you know, coming to meet Christ in our parishes? And how do we, again, what do we need to fill in the blank there to help them, you know, really, really discover?
Yeah, I think there's a couple of things. Yeah. One is older men need to be mentoring younger men.
Yeah.
If every man over 40 would mentor one man under 40, mm-hmm. amazing things would happen.
Yeah.
Because men these days don't have mentors.
Yeah.
And I personally, to this day, mentor 10 people on a monthly basis, mm-hmm. younger people. And what happens is incredible. Mm-hmm. So, and I think that's one of the missing pieces.
Yeah.
And it's easy. If you're a man and you're 45, 50, look out amongst your parish mm-hmm. and go tap someone on the shoulder and say, hey, let's go have coffee.
Right. You don't need to be a genius.
No.
You don't need to know all there is about the faith. It's a gift of self. It's a sharing.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So that's one of our big projects we're going to be moving forward, is this mentoring thing. We think it's critical to reach our younger men.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's the way the gospel, that's the primordial way. It's not as much through books and texts and programs. It's for
relationship.
Sharing. This is what Christ has meant to me.
Yeah.
You know, it's that sharing, the word of mouth, person to person. Yeah. That's really where it happens. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's great. That's great ministry there. Okay. Well, I mean, so a couple just more minutes left here. If there is a man right now listening, you know, who's in a similar place to you that you were, maybe that early part of your life, kind of living the sort of the aimless hedonistic lifestyle beforehand, or even who's maybe gotten a little bit on track, speak to them for a moment. What's the word of encouragement?
What I would encourage you to do is reach out to another man. Mm. Reach out to, could be a guy your age, could be a guy a little bit older. And just say, hey, you know, can you help me along here?
Yeah.
Because it's a tough slug for our young men out there today. I mean, the world sounds and looks really, really good. And, you know, you're struggling with finances, raising children, balance of life. It's tough.
Yeah.
If we can help them along, it will change things.
Yeah. And sometimes just that, again, there was a moment of your story just where you realized that you were lost. And so even the inner emotion of asking for help,
right?
That sets you on a new trajectory, because now you're actually open for help. You're open for God's grace. You're open for advice. You're open for, so just even that asking for help, sometimes that's the chink in the armor for to change your life.
Yeah. It was a scary thought when I realized that had I died in my first 40 years, I would have gone to hell. When I got that thought, it scared the living daylights out of me.
Mm. Yeah. Oh, well, Robert, thanks so much for your story and for your
thank
awesome
thank you for
work.
Having me here, John Mark.
I enjoyed
it.
Yeah. And thank you for your ministry, too. I'm going to read those over again. Again, you can find out more about the Catholic Men's Leadership Alliance at CatholicMenLeaders.org. And you can also check out HeroicMen.com, which is a great collection of resources for men. Definitely check that out. Share it with your men's group. Watch it as a group. Talk about it. But also, you can read a written version of Robert's story. It's entitled From Heathen to Catholic Ministry to Men, and it's available at chnetwork.org.
Yeah, and anybody can send me an email, and if they want to reach out to me and have a conversation, I'd be glad to talk to them.
Awesome. Thanks again, Robert. And thank you for joining us for this episode of the Journey Home program. I pray that Robert's story was an inspiration to you on your journey. And we want to know about your journey. We want to hear your story. So send us a message at chnetwork.org. We'd like to be praying for you and helping you along. If we can be any assistance to you as you explore the Catholic Church, whether you're coming back to it or maybe exploring it from the first time, we'd love to help you out with that. And there are many others out there who'd love to mentor you, who'd love to accompany you on the journey, no matter what your background is. So check out chnetwork.org. And once again, we'll be back next week with another story here on the Journey Home program. God bless you. We'll see you then.